We're going to devote this hour to past Coast to Coast guest Aaron Russo, who died of cancer at the age of 64 years old. Among the many things he did in his career, one was directing Freedom to Fascism. Here's our interview that we had with Aaron in May of 2006.
2 weeks ago, I had those special open lines on Wednesday as we vented a little bit, as part of an effort for us to really, stand up and start telling people, hey, we've had enough of this. We want to take our country back. And so we shall do tonight with our guest, Aaron Russo. Born in Brooklyn, raised on Long Island, producer Aaron Russo has been a driving force in the music business, where Aaron helped create the careers of many legendary performers such as Led Zeppelin and promoted some of the 60s most successful rock acts, including The Who, Janis Joplin, The Grateful Dead, and Jefferson Airplane. When Russo turned to the producing of feature films, his production of The Rose introduced Bette Midler to the motion picture audiences. Midler received an Academy Award nomination as the Best Actress. The Rose is considered by many to be a classic rock and roll film. Russo also produced Trading Places, starring Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. Over the past years, Russo has received numerous awards for his achievements. In January of 2004, he declared his candidacy for the Libertarian Party's nomination for President of the United States. At the convention in May, he won the first two ballots, but not a majority. He was defeated on the third and final ballot. He then channeled his energy into writing, directing the film America from Freedom to Fascism. He's our guest tonight on Coast to Coast. Hello, Aaron. How are you?
Hey, I'm very happy. I'm glad to be here. Thank you very much.
Likewise. Lots of response when we put on our website that you were going to be our guest. I mean, people have been flooding me with congratulatory emails already, and I haven't even talked with you yet.
Is that right? Did that really happen?
Yeah, honest to God.
That's great. That's great news. I'm happy to hear that. I think that my movie and my website is getting a tremendous amount of attention about this movie. As a matter of fact, we've had over 450,000, maybe 500,000 now, people go on the site and stream the movie. You know, it's not the movie, but the trailer.
Good for you. You know, and I'm in L.A. too, so you and I have to get together one day.
My pleasure, okay. Sure.
I want to get your reaction, Aaron, before we get into all the business at hand here. I want to get your reaction to the president's immigration speech tonight, and illegal immigration speech tonight, and, you know, just this episode. Because I continue to think this is a push for a North American country, one. But what do you think about all this?
Well, to be honest, I'm leaving for France tomorrow, and I was very busy packing up tonight and getting myself ready to go. So I didn't hear his speech tonight particularly, but I will say that his policies towards immigration have been horrible, and there's no question that in America that we must have border control and protect our borders from invasions. A lot of people tell me that they think that the illegal immigrants should be given citizenship, and I really think that would be a horrible mistake, because the fact is that America is there's a philosophy that underlies America, that underlies our Constitution, freedom of the individual, Americans being sovereign citizens above the government being the servant of the people. And when immigrants come here illegally, and then they're made citizens and they can vote, they're going to change the very nature of what made America a great country, because they've been brought up in countries where they don't have those standards.
That's right.
And they don't understand it. And so to just let people come in here and become citizens and destroy the essence of what America's about would be a terrible thing. And personally, my own point of view is, and I know I'm right about this, is that the people that want this to happen are the people who want a one-world government, a one-world order. They want a world without borders.
That's right.
And the American government is listening to them.
Absolutely. And you know, I don't want people to assume that because we're opposed to illegal immigration, that we hate people or we want harm to come to people.
No.
I mean, you know, I wish that as they stayed in their own countries, in their own cities, in their own towns, I wish there was a way that we could, you know, generate a good standard of living for everybody on this planet, so they could be happy.
Well, the fact is that because you don't believe in illegal immigration doesn't mean you're a bigot or a racist. I happen to love people. My whole nature is one of being very generous. I love people. I'm very friendly. I like to laugh. You know, it's not about that. It's about preserving the American way of life and making sure that our Constitution and what makes America a great nation is preserved. That's what it's about.
Absolutely.
That's the positive. It's not about disliking anybody else. They just use that. That's used as an argument to make you feel guilty or politically incorrect.
You know, this reminds me, Aaron, this is a crazy analogy, but you lend somebody some money, and then a month goes by, and 2 months go by, and a year goes by, and, you know, you kind of want to get paid back. So you go up to the person you lent the money to, and you said, hey, you know, do you think I can get paid? And he attacks you for asking him.
I've actually had that happen to me as well. Okay, so I totally get that analogy. You know, I totally understand that. But, the fact is that, you know, America has been known for immigration, and you keep hearing people say that, well, your family were immigrants when they came here, and they use that against you. But the difference is, when the immigrants came here initially and originally, there was no social welfare. You know, everybody didn't have to support everybody else like they have to do today. Now you come to this country and you can live off other people, and that's wrong. And when the immigrants first came here, they came here to work, to make a living. They didn't live off other people. There wasn't welfare, you know? And so there's a very, very big difference between then and today.
When my grandfather came here from, and my two grandfathers came here from the old country, I mean, one was a shoe manufacturer and cobbler. The other worked in the furniture business and ended up owning his own furniture company in Boston, in that area. I mean, these guys started with nothing. In those stories are everywhere. A lot of the immigrants who came into this country in the 20s especially, they didn't have a lot, but they worked hard, they were dedicated, and sure, a lot of them stayed within their own small communities, you know, where you had Little Italy and a little Middle Eastern. But you know what? These people cared about their families, they cared about people, they cared about America. Right. And, you know, they went to war for America.
Well, they came, see, that when the old immigrants came here to get away from oppression overseas. They came here to be free and find opportunity. A lot of the people coming here today are coming here to get quick money to send back home.
True.
They're not coming here to make a life here necessarily, even though some of them are. You know, and it's just a whole different ballgame. And I have no problem with immigration, as long as it's legal immigration, as long as people come here and learn the essence of the Constitution and what it's really about and the philosophy of what made America a great nation. And unfortunately, it's not only the immigrants that should learn that. It's a lot of the citizens of America, the kids going to school. They're not taught that anymore either.
Well, and I blame these huge manufacturing corporations, Aaron, who have left American jobs here to squander. And then they've set up shop and plants in Mexico where the labor is just notoriously cheap. And, I mean, those workers are trying to get out of there to come here to make money.
Right. Well, the interesting thing about that is you have to take that back to its origination, you know, to how that came to be. I mean, I think most of the ills of this country, particularly the immigration and what you're talking about now, the loss of jobs, you know, really the blame for that and the fault for that lies on the Federal Reserve System and the banking community in this country. You know, the Federal Reserve System creates money out of thin air. And that is a definition of inflation. Many people think inflation is rising prices. That's not correct. Inflation is the printing of currency. And the more currency they print, the more inflation they create, then that creates higher prices. Higher prices are a symptom of the inflation. So because the Federal Reserve System has created this massive inflation, which they get into the economy through borrowing, so they create the inflation, and they also create more debt at the same time. And so what's happened is that because of this massive inflation, the price of everything in America has gone up. And to keep pace with that, the American worker had to start making higher wages to keep up with the inflation. And so as they started making higher wages, the corporation said, well, they're making too much money, let's go overseas and get cheaper labor,
where we could sell our goods for almost the same as we're selling them now.
Exactly. and we'll have cheaper labor at the same time. So then they go overseas, and they create manufacturing overseas. And the American worker gets fired, he's out of a job, or has to take a cheap service job instead. Now everything's being made overseas. Now we have to buy those goods. So now we buy them from overseas, and that means our dollars end up overseas. We get the goods, and our dollars go over there. Now that means all these foreign countries are now holding our dollars. And then they take our dollars, and they come back, and they stop buying American companies with it. You see?
Well, I'm also making a prediction here, Aaron, that if the Iranians switch from the dollar to euros for their oil, and they continue to, apparently they're flooding the Iraqi market with weapons now, I have found out, something's going to happen there, and that's going to happen soon.
Well, I don't doubt that something's going to happen, but I don't think that it's going to be up to the Iranians. I think America is so overshot her load already. There's so much unfunded liabilities in this country. There's so much debt in this country. And the only way you can pay for the debt is to create more money. So the only way to pay for the old debt is to create new debt.
Well, what happened to the old dollar gold, dollar currency here? What happened to that?
Well, what happened to that is real simple. You know, first in August 15th of 1971, President Nixon stopped all other countries who held dollars overseas from taking the gold from America. So he cut off the gold standard. He cut off the gold supply. Now you had a series of all countries in the world making paper money out of nothing. But then the Federal Reserve has taken the gold that was in Fort Knox that belongs to the American people, the wealth of the nation, the real wealth.
True.
And they've taken the gold as collateral for the dollars they print out of thin air. You see,
who gave them the right to do that?
Thank you. Thank you, not the American people, and the Republicans and the Democrats in office have allowed that, and the Treasury Department. So these guys, they print money out of thin air, a piece of paper that costs 2 cents to make, or they just use computer chips now. They don't even spend the 2 cents anymore, and they create billions and trillions of dollars out of nothing, and they said to the government, well, we're going to take the American gold as collateral for all this paper we're printing.
Oh, and now at $700-plus dollars an ounce, that's worth a pretty penny, isn't it?
Well, sure, it's worth more than the $700 an ounce. It's worth thousands of dollars an ounce, ultimately, because the more they print, the more the price of gold is going to go higher in regards to dollars, as it relates to a dollar. I mean, the very fact is they've taken the real wealth of the nation in return for a piece of paper that they stick us with. They get the gold, and we get the paper and the computer chips.
What a great deal they cut.
I would say
for themselves.
So. I say it's the biggest swindle ever in the history of this country.
Yeah, but there's got to be a lot of people behind it, Aaron. A lot of people have profited off of this one.
Well, of course they have. I mean, in 1913, the Federal Reserve was established without a constitutional amendment, so it's completely illegal. The Constitution says very clearly only Congress can issue money and determine the value thereof, and Congress can't give that to any other agency. You know, or a private bank like the Federal Reserve is.
Well, how come nobody challenges that?
Well, now or then.
I mean now. I mean,
I am challenging it. That's why I made the movie From Freedom to America, Freedom to Fascism.
Okay, but what about litigation? And what about someone saying, hey, you know, there is no law here. What's going on? Nobody does that. I mean, we'll get into the IRS as well. There are a lot of people who don't think that that ever has become law, for example.
The income tax on your labor cannot be law. I mean, it's impossible for it to be law. When I started making the movie America, Freedom to Fascism, what happened was I started out because I kept hearing rumors over the years that there was no law. I heard it over and over and over again. So I said, you know, that's an interesting thing to find out. It might make an interesting movie. Let me get into that, you know, because I wanted to make movies. You know, I had all these movie-making skills from the past, and I wanted to make a movie about politics, about this country, because I'm very tired of what's happened to this country. You know, we're heading into a complete totalitarian police state. It's fascist, and fascism means the cooperation of big government and big institutions to suppress the people.
And control.
And control, yeah. That was Mussolini's definition of fascism, and that's what we have here today. So I decided to make this movie, not about that at the time, but just about the IRS and was there a law. And I called the IRS on the phone. I said, I'm Aaron Russo, and I'm an award-winning film producer, and I'm interested in making a movie about the tax on labor, and is there a law, and, you know, can I interview some people? And they said, no, we won't, you know, we're not going to cooperate. And I thought that was kind of odd, honestly, because I would think if there was a law, it would be a very simple thing to do.
And defend.
Yeah, I mean, when they just show me the law, it's real simple. But instead, they sent me to one of their websites with all the stuff on it. But there was never a law, you know, and it didn't make sense to me. And then there was this group of people, an organization called We the People Foundation, that was going to be marching in Washington and serving the IRS with a lawsuit for them to show where the law was. So I said, oh, that's interesting. Let me get some cameras down there, and I'll shoot this march. And if I like the footage and I think there's something here, I'll continue to make the documentary. And so we went down there. We shot some footage. We shot them serving the IRS with the papers. And the more I spoke to the IRS, the more convinced I became that there's something wrong here because they're not showing the law. Why? And so in speaking to them, there was this very nice gentleman named Anthony Burke, who I spoke to, who was very helpful. And he arranged for me to meet one of the ex-IRS commissioners named Sheldon Cohen. And Sheldon was the commissioner for many years, and he actually was very instrumental in writing the tax code, and he was also chief counsel to the IRS.
Okay.
So very respectable.
Sure.
You know, he knows his stuff, right?
He's got the credentials.
Exactly. So I sat down in an interview with him, and it's all in the film. And ultimately, you know, I asked him some questions. Why is the tax code say it's voluntary, you know, not mandatory? And I asked him questions about the Fifth Amendment, you know, why the Fifth Amendment says you don't have to do anything to incriminate yourself. And he said that doesn't, you know, when you sign your tax 1040, you're not incriminating yourself. And I would say, but you can go to jail for it. So obviously you're incriminating yourself, you know. And we got this whole discussion. And finally it came down to, you know, he said, look, we have the authorization to impose this tax because of the 16th Amendment, the income tax amendment.
And you were waiting for that to come up.
Yes. And he says, and I say, the 16th Amendment, okay, let's examine that a little more clearly. And I said, the 16th Amendment, first of all, was never even ratified by the states, okay? That's the first thing. But we don't even use that. That doesn't even matter, okay? But that's just a fact.
All right.
It was never ratified. But let's assume it was ratified, okay? Now, I say to him, well, the 16th Amendment was in 1913. That was the year it was ratified. In 1916 to 1923, there were 8 different Supreme Court decisions that said the 16th Amendment did not allow you to tax the labor of the people.
That's interesting.
Okay, so if the 16th Amendment said you can't tax, if the 8 Supreme Court decisions said you can't tax the labor of the people, how is the IRS?
I'm there.
What was that?
You know what, Aaron? It happens every time I have a controversial guest on.
No kidding.
Something happens somewhere.
I'm glad to know I'm controversial.
Someone plays around. Unbelievable. Hey, stay with us. We got a commercial break. We'll be right back with you, all right? Aaron Russo, our guest. Happens all the time. And our special guest tonight, Aaron Russo. We'll be back with Aaron in just a moment. Aaron, let's talk before we get back into all of this. Tell us a little bit about you and your show business career. That's fascinating.
Well, I'd just like to finish the point we were making before the break.
Okay.
There was a very important point we were on, and we never got a chance to finish it. So the point was that 1913, the 16th Amendment was ratified, and they said that was the law that allowed the government to tax the labor of the people. It was up until that point you couldn't tax labor and people. All right, because it was considered that labor was your private property. You owned your labor, and if you worked for somebody and they gave you something in return, it was an exchange.
All right.
It wasn't a profit. It wasn't a gain. It was an exchange. So when I pointed that out to the commissioner, and I said, well, you say the 16th Amendment is what authorized it, which was in 1913, but yet in 1916 through 1923, 8 different Supreme Court decisions said that the government couldn't tax the labor of the people, and that the 16th Amendment did not give them that authority. Right? How much clearer can it be?
So what happened?
So what did the IRS commissioner say to me? And this is in the movie. He says to me, the 16th Amendment is inapplicable to the IRS. I mean, the Supreme Court decisions are inapplicable to the IRS.
Oh, really?
As if they're above the law. Okay? So that means they're using force. So ultimately, it's no different than a criminal protection racket where somebody walks into your store, says, listen, I want $2,000 a month, and you're not going to get hurt.
Yeah, and if you don't give them the money, you got a problem.
Right. So there is as from everything that I've learned, it's impossible for there to be a law because the Supreme Court said they can't do this. Okay? And then when you actually go look for a statute written by Congress that allows that in defiance of the Supreme Court decisions, there is no statute.
But then you have people like old Irwin Schiff, Aaron, who get convicted and sentenced on 13 counts. I mean, somewhere along the line, you would have thought they'd say to him, Irwin, you're right.
Well, but here's the thing. Here's what happens. So I said to the commissioner in the movie, I say, well, then if that's the case, how can lower courts be putting people in jail when the Supreme Court said they don't have to pay the tax? How does that happen? And then I go ahead and I show how it happens. What happens is, as in the case of Irwin Schiff, which is in the movie, Irwin Schiff was trying to prove to the jury that there was no law, and he was trying to make his point.
Right.
Okay? And here's a quote from the judge, right out of the transcript. Okay? The judge, Judge Kent Dawson, federal judge, says to Irwin Schiff in court, and this is the quote, I will not allow the law in my courtroom.
I will not allow the law in my courtroom.
Exactly. I will not allow the law. Now, think about that. Just think about that. Okay, there's a judge railroading an American citizen. Okay, it's a farce. It's a joke.
I will not allow the law in my courtroom.
And then when Irwin Schiff went to say what the Supreme Court said, the judge, Kent Dawson, says, irrelevant, denied. You mean the Supreme Court's irrelevant? Irrelevant, denied. And does not allow Irwin to bring up Supreme Court decisions. So what happens is that in the lower courts are not following the Supreme Court decisions as they're obligated to do. Of course, they're in cahoots with the IRS. And it's a scam. There is no law. Now, personally, I don't care whether people pay taxes or not, income tax or not. That's their business, okay? What I do care about is that there are people being put in jail and that the IRS is a symptom of the overall bigger police state that's happening in America.
And as you know, when they went to try to get some criminals, the easiest way to get them was on tax evasion,
exactly.
They said.
Exactly. But there is no law. I mean, the IRS has not been able to show me the law. We have a woman, a juror in the movie named Marcy Brooks, a brilliant woman. And I say to her, well, you said on the jury, how come? Because many people have been found innocent, by the way. You have to know that. You know, I show many.
Yeah, but they don't get publicized too well, Aaron. Only the convictions.
Exactly. Well, of course. But they're publicized in my movie. And we show the people who have won. And the reason they won is because the judges have allowed them to show there was no law. You see, and once the jury sees there's no law,
then let them go.
They can't convict. But there's never any publicity about it because we all know the media is controlled by the big institutions. And the big institutions and the big government work together to suppress the people. And that's fascism. And that's what we have here in America today. We're living in a fascist country, and it has to be stopped. We need to get together as people. We need to stop being polarized, stop being good Democrats, stop being good Republicans, and start being good Americans. That's what the people there have to do. If they want to save their lives and save their future and their freedoms, you got to get organized now.
What would you recommend that, I guess, government do to replace revenue? Maybe go to a sales tax use tax?
One of the things you have to understand is that the money you pay in taxes, the income tax, mostly goes to pay the interest on the debt. It doesn't go for infrastructure like people think. Like people say, what are you going to do about schools if you don't pay an income tax? Well, schools are paid for by local property tax.
Absolutely. This government's borrowing $2 billion a day.
Yeah. You want to build roads, they say. Well, the gas and tax lien pays for the roads. You want to have a defense. Well, the excise taxes and the corporate taxes pay for the defense. I mean, the money you pay in income tax for the most part just goes to pay the interest on the debt. And we have interest on the debt because we have a Federal Reserve system. If you got rid of the Federal Reserve system, all that interest on the debt would be gone.
Isn't that what Kennedy wanted to do?
Well, that's what I'm told. You know, I saw his executive order, I think it was 1110, something like that. And, you know, where it said he wanted to make silver currency again. And I didn't put it in the movie because I wasn't sure about his intentions as I read it. I wasn't clear about it. And so I didn't go into that in the movie, you know. But also, you know, all four presidents who were assassinated, you know, were against the Federal Reserve, you know, against central banks. I mean, people have to understand that we say America is the greatest capitalistic country in the world. But what people don't really understand is that the Federal Reserve System is a central bank. That is one of the major planks of the Communist Manifesto, central planning. How can you say we're a capitalistic country when you have a central bank? That's right out of the Communist Manifesto, a graduated income tax. It's right out of the Communist Manifesto.
And they get together every month and set interest rates.
Yeah, as if, you know, they have this power. So how can capitalistic country means you have laissez-faire, you're free to do as you wish. You have a central bank deciding everything for you here. Ben Bernanke, you want him deciding how you live your life? Or Alan Greenspan? What a joke. You know, America, and it's the Federal Reserve, because they print all this money, they control our government. They control the government. All the big corporations feed on the nipple of the Federal Reserve, because the Federal Reserve gives them money at very low interest rates. Then they go out and charge more money on it. And it's this, and you have this fascist big institutions and big government controlling the people here. And it's time the people woke up and said, I don't want this anymore, and shut down the Federal Reserve system.
All right, let's talk, Aaron, in case this ever happens.
Yes.
If the Federal Reserve system is shut down,
yes.
Give me a for instance. How's this going to work?
Well, my point of view would be very simple. The Federal Reserve would stop making money for this country. The government would make the money interest-free. There'd be no more interest to pay on it. Okay, and you'd be backing with gold.
All right, so...
So when you shut the Federal Reserve down, you take back all the gold that they've stolen from us.
We'd still have our banks, I guess?
Of course you'd have your banks.
All
Nothing
right.
wrong with banks. Banks could do what they want to do. There's no problem with a bank, you know, but they couldn't be charging usurious interest rates. You know, look what they just did with the bankruptcy laws. You know, they made bankruptcy much more difficult on the American people by passing these really stringent laws, yet they allowed the banks to charge 25 and 30% interest rates. You know, it's slavery.
Robbery.
It's slavery of the people. They want to turn the people into serfs. And now they're starting to talk about RFID chips. They're implanting chips in people like a homing device. By May 2008, you have to have a national ID card with a reader component on it, and that reader component's going to be the RFID chip, radio frequency identification. I'm telling you, you're heading into a one-world government very quickly because we have a central bank, a Federal Reserve System.
And what happens when they do away with your cash and you're stuck with your ATM machine?
Well, what's going to happen is that all money's going to be digitized. And when your money is digitized, and if they put that chip in you, which everybody says, well, I'm not going to take a chip. But let me tell you something, buddy. If you can't have any money without the chip, and you can't start your computer without the chip, and you can't do a million things without your chip, you're going to start taking it.
You're going to get stuck with it. You know, it's like your Social Security number. Right? You know, whether you are opposed to it or not, you know, you go into an employer. I'm not talking about people who make them up, by the way, these numbers.
I understand.
Yeah.
They force you to have one.
Absolutely.
And if you remember what they said originally, Social Security cards said not to be used for identification, right on the card, not to be used for ID. Doesn't say that anymore because they do things very slowly so you don't pay attention and you don't notice the changes. It's the old frog in the pot theory. You know, where you throw a frog in a in boiling water, he's going to jump right out. But if you throw him into a pot of warm water and you slowly turn the heat up, he sits there until he boils to death. But with the frog, they're slowly boiling us to death. And what they have in mind for us is a one-world government run by the banks. The banks are going to run the governments, and we're going to be the serfs and the slaves of these people. They want you all chipped, and they want your money and your chips, you know, and they can take money out of your chip whenever they want to. They can turn off your chip whenever they want to. And you're a slave to these people, and that's it. And that's where they want it to end up.
And if certain governments don't comply, there'll be a war.
Yeah, well, there'll be, you know, it's like in Iraq. Iraq is a case of America and the Federal Reserve System and the Bank of England working together to control the Middle East. Look, Robert Reich said something in 1999. It was in USA Today. And what he said, and he was one of Clinton's cabinet members, right? And you know what he said? He said, and here's a quote, "The dirty little secret is that America's domestic policy is now being run by Alan Greenspan and the Federal Reserve, not by Congress. America's foreign policy is now being run by the International Monetary Fund. And the president no longer needs a declaration of war to go to Congress for a declaration of war." Okay? That's right out of it. And that's the truth. You know, we're heading into dictatorship, one-world government, a country without borders. They want to make America, Canada, and Mexico into a zone, an area zone. They want to make the Euro an area. Then they have the Orient. They're doing everything they can do.
And it seems to be happening fast, Aaron.
It's happening very fast. But one of the things that's also happening is that South America is not going along with it. Yeah, I must say, the people in South America are resisting this big time. And so they don't have it totally easy. But what I find amazing is that the Americans are not standing up to fight this. You know, and that's why I made the movie, so they would understand what's really happening here. You know, I was friends with one of the Rockefeller family. And
how did that happen?
Well, I was running for governor of Nevada in 98.
All right.
And I got a call from an attorney one day who said one of the Rockefeller family would like to meet you. They saw a video you made called "Aaron Russo's Mad as Hell, and they'd like to talk to you." Okay. So I said, sure, I'd love to meet one of the Rockefellers. It'd be my pleasure, you know. And for the next 2 years, we became friends. And when I say friends, I mean we would talk to each other about our own points of view. I would have my point of view, he'd have his point of view, and we'd sort of learn from each other.
Is that Rockefeller dead now?
No.
Oh, okay.
And he said, I'm going to give you an example of how they think. Okay, here's the way they think. Aaron, he said to me, what do you think Women's Lib was about? I said, Women's Lib. I said, I guess it was about women getting equal pay to men and having a right to work, just like they won the right to vote. You know, all the things that we learned, you know, from at the time, right? All those noble things. And he said, you know, Aaron, you're an idiot.
Aaron, you're an idiot, he said?
Yeah. What do you mean? And he was joking. You know, what do you mean you're an idiot? What do you mean I'm an idiot? He said, don't you understand? Women's Lib, we control, we know, we had all the media and the people promoting Women's Lib because we want to get women and to be taxable. We want them to work so we could tax them. Half the population wasn't working. We got them into the taxes. Plus, now we get control of the children at an early age where we can help train their minds.
And he's dead serious now?
Totally serious. And that's what Women's Lib was about. They promoted Women's Lib. Now, I'm not saying women don't have, I'm not against Women's Lib, for it. You know, I don't think about it that much. I'm only trying to tell you the way they think and why they pushed it so hard. They sell things with a noble cause. You know, the idea is noble. It's honor. Women have a right to work just like men do. On the surface, that sounds right.
Sure.
But what they're really doing is wanting women to tax them and to have two people working to support a family now and to get the kids early and to make everybody on that wheel, that hamster wheel, working and working and working.
And borrow more money. And
exactly. That's what they want. That's what the whole thing is about. They want a one-world government, and that's what they're pushing for. And that's why the immigration issue is what it is, because they don't want borders here. They don't want borders.
Are we all stooges, Aaron, while this all unfolds?
Yes. Well, I mean, when you say, are we all stooges? What I'm saying, I say yes, meaning that they're pulling the wool over most people's eyes. But there are a lot of people in America today who are waking up to this, who know better. And that's why I put up my website. That's why I made this movie. So I want people from all walks of life, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, to go to my website and sign up, join with us. We want this. I think this movie of mine is going to be huge.
Now, tell me about the movie in terms of the venue. Are you going to show it on the big screen? What are you going to do eventually?
Show in theaters. But I just want to make this point. I'll go wherever you want to go. I made this movie so that it can reach millions of people across America who don't know what's going on. And we've had standing ovations in the theaters. We've had lines around the block and all the kind of pre-screenings before the movie's actually released formally this summer. And people love the movie. And I think we can get millions of people to sign up. And we want to start a political movement of Republicans, of Democrats, of Independents, third-party people, all joining together and not being polarized anymore to go after the real problem we face in this country, which is the Federal Reserve System, the bankers, and our government, which uses people and polarizes people, red states, blue states, Republican, Democrat, left-wing, right-wing, conservative, liberal. It's all nonsense. They want you fighting with each other so you don't pay attention to where the real problems lie.
Well, you know, and I've noticed, too, just in the few short years here, they have pushed the word Democrat to liberal, Republican to conservative. They very rarely use Democrat and Republicans anymore.
That's right. That's right. That's absolutely correct.
Because it's more emotional to say he's a liberal, he's a conservative.
Exactly. And that's what they want to do, and they want to keep everybody polarized, white against black, you know, Americans against Mexicans, this thing against that thing. Keep everything polarized. Stop being polarized. Be good Americans. The American, this country was founded on the sense of every individual to be free to be who he is.
Who's going to win it, though, Aaron, when it all, the dust settles?
Well, I'm telling you one thing. I'm sure planning on winning. You know, I'm sure planning on getting this country back to what it's supposed to be. That's my goal. That's my ambition. That's why I just want to give myself a plug here. If everybody listening to the show would just go to the website, freedomtofascism.com, and sign up.
This has been our special tribute to Aaron Russo, past Coast to Coast guest, who has died of cancer at the age of 64 years old. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Karis Coburn, Wayne Roberts, Tom Danheiser, Gina Salvati, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.